Hey, good morning, West Campus. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hey, today is a special service. We're doing baptisms at Lakeview. So if you're watching this today, maybe you're watching our 8 o'clock service and you're thinking, you know, should I drive out there? Should I go to the lake? Should I watch people get baptized? Should I have an amazing time with God's people and worshiping God and seeing new life in Christ and celebrating? Should I go? The answer is absolutely yes. So make sure to come out and celebrate at Lakeview today. It's going to be so special. But today we're going to continue our sermon series called Fruitfulness Over Productivity. But before we do, let me say a prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, that you love us. And from you loving us, we learn how to love each other better. Father, help us to realize that at the end of the day, the relationships in our life are the most important things. Help us to not neglect them because of work, because of selfishness, because of hobbies, because of all the other things that can distract us in life. And Father, I pray that we could bear that eternal fruit with our lives. So help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many years ago, I read Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and I've reread it before. It's such a helpful and great book, but one of the things that always stuck with me that he talked about was this idea of the tyranny of the urgent. And what he means by that is that in our work lives, there are always urgent demands on us. Your telephone is ringing, your inbox is filling up with emails. Now today, you know, your texts are blowing up, and that people are clamoring for your time and your attention. But he says the problem is that many of those urgent things are not the most important things, and that we will sacrifice the important for the urgent. And then our lives, our work lives, become dominated by the tyranny of the urgent. And so what we really need to get done, we don't get done because we're focused on all these urgent things that are making a lot of noise for our immediate attention. And so one of the principles that he talks about in his book is how to free yourself from the tyranny of the urgent. Because he says often the most important things you need to do in life are important, but not urgent. In other words, no one is knocking on your office door. No one is blowing up your inbox about these important things. They don't have that urgency, but they do have the importance. And there's something so helpful about that principle in life because I think that extends beyond our work life. I think all of life is like that. Oftentimes the urgent isn't the important, and the important is not the urgent. And in this sermon series, that's kind of what we've been saying, that we get focused on productivity. Our schedules are full. We're busy. We come home every night. We're tired. We're worn out. We're just kind of like, man, it's July already? What happened to 2023? And we're productive. We're doing things. But then there's something in our soul that's saying, but are we fruitful? Are we doing good things or are we doing God things? Are we doing the things that maybe urgently need done or the things that ultimately need done? And this is what we've been looking at in this idea of how do we live fruitful lives? Because at the end of the day, I think much of our life, it could be productive, our schedules could be full, but it might not be the life and the things that God has for us. But where God is, and what God wants to do, that's the fruit. That's the stuff that matters. That's the real good stuff of life. And that's what we want to focus on. And we've been looking at John 15 as our guide. And we began looking at the first part of it. And Jesus tells us that God wants us to bear fruit. That he is the vine, we are the branches. And that our connection with him is the vitality that we need to live a fruitful life, a life that produces this good eternal fruit. Now, we're going to see today that Jesus is going to show us that the real eternal fruit is about relationships that are marked by the love of Christ. And I'll read these verses to you. It's John 15, and I'm going to start at verse 9. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I'm telling you this because I want you to be happy. I want you to have the fullest sense of happiness in life. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you got a Bible in front of you, just underline that verse. As I have loved you. This is so important. The love that Christ wants me to share with my life is not a love that I define. It's a love that's defined by how God has loved me. And then I'm supposed to love the people around me in that same way. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Such a powerful verse. But Jesus is saying, you know what? The ultimate expression of this love, it is self-sacrifice for others. That's the pinnacle of what this love looks like. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so you will love one another. Now, to just summarize some of these teachings in a very simple way, Jesus is showing us that the eternal fruit, that fruitfulness, when you boil what it is, it's that ability to love people in our lives the way Christ has loved us. At the end of the day, what's the most important outcome of your life and my life? That we are loved by God, and we sit in that love, we absorb that love, we receive that love, and then we become a conduit of that love, and it can flow through us to the people around us. Notice Jesus is showing us, hey, the greatness of your life is not about how high you make it up the corporate ladder. It's not about the size of your bank account. It's not about how nice your house is, how nice of a car you have. It's not about how many degrees you have. It's not about your academic achievement. It's not about how fit you are, how skinny you are, how beautiful you are, how fashionable you are. It's not about how many Instagram followers you have or TikTok followers. No, it is about, have you received the love of Christ? And has that become your standard by which you love other people? In other words, the goal of our life is these loving relationships that reflect the love of Christ that's for us. Now, here's what I find interesting about this. And I just want to point this out, that most people in our world today, if you really pressed them, they would say the most important things in life are relationships and are loving relationships. Right? Most people, I've been around a lot of people in their last days, been around a lot of hospital beds and a lot of families when people are on their last day or very close to it. And I could tell you, no one cares about their 401k. No one cares about their stuff. No one cares about their house. You know what they care about? The people that are in their room or the people that aren't in their room. The things that weigh in them, it's all about relationships. Now, when you think about that idea, it's easy to think that is just innate in the human soul. But I just have to point this out, that we value that because Jesus showed us that. That this is not innate to the human experience. To say that the ultimate purpose of life is these deeply loving relationships, and that's the most important thing to get right. Now, we take that for granted today. If you're watching today, whether you're religious or irreligious, whether you're a Christian or an atheist or an agnostic, whatever, we all would probably agree on this, but I just need to show you, we agree on this because of Jesus. Jesus is the one that introduced this to the world. That said, hey, this is eternal fruit. This is what matters above all. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. Yuval Harari, he is an Israeli atheist, and he writes about human history. He wrote a book that's a bestseller called Sapiens, and it's all about human development and humanity and a history of it. But he says this. This is a quote from him. The Americans got the idea of equality from Christianity. He says equality is not innate in humans. What's innate in humans and what's innate in nature is that the strong rules, that, you know, survival of the fittest. That's what's innate. That's what's natural. That's what we learn from life experience. But he says, but the idea of equality comes from Christianity, which argues that every person has a divinely created soul, that all souls are equal before God. That's a Christian idea. Whether you're a Christian or not, it's a Christian idea. However, if we do not believe in the Christian myth about God, creation, and souls, what does it mean that people are equal? And he goes on to talk quite a bit about this, and I really appreciate his academic honesty to say that, yeah, the reason we say relationships are the most important, the reason we say people matter, the reason that this stuff is so in us is because of the influence of Jesus Christ on human history. So, I just have to make you aware of that. And I think that's so important. Now, Jesus then goes on and he shows us that the foundation of this fruitful life is the Trinitarian idea of love. Jesus says, the Father's loved me, so I've loved you. And because I've loved you, you now must go and love one another. That's my command to you. And you follow the same pattern that the Father gave to me, that I give to you, that you give to one another. Do you see it? So it's all built on this Trinitarian experience of love. Now, what I find so powerful, and there's many things I find powerful about this, but one of them is I recently heard this man named Conrad Hilario talk about the two driving forces of identity in our life. Right, all of us, we're trying to figure out who we are. We're trying to be at peace with our identity. We're trying to have a healthy identity. These are big issues in life. And he said there's two driving forces of identity that we're all searching for these things in identity. Number one, a security in love. We want to know that we're loved and it's secure. It's not fickle. It doesn't change like the weather. It's enduring. It can handle the cycles of life, the cycles of our performance and behavior. We all want that love that brings that security at the soul level. And we also have a need for significance, that we want our lives to count. We want them to make a difference. We don't just want to be a blip on the radar and that's it. We want our lives to mean something. And what I find so powerful about this teaching from Jesus is that the thing that our identity craves, he gives to us right off the bat. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. That need for security, I love you with the divinely perfect love. Now here's what Jesus also shows us. You can't earn that love and you can't lose that love. I can lose the love of people in my life by being an idiot. I cannot lose the love of God in my life by being an idiot. Did you all just hear that? That should feel like relief and good news, because it is. And that's what the message of the gospel is, that we are loved by the work of Christ, not by my own work. Some days I wake up and I serve God well. Some days I wake up and you would question if I knew God at all. And I'm trying to limit those days, but you know what? That's reality, church. But on those days where I wake up and I fail him and I forsake him, he does not stop loving me any less. We have security in that love. We also have significance. Jesus says, your life is meant to bear eternal fruit. Church, you do not have to have a great platform to have a great life. You do not have to have all kinds of money and all kinds of all these sorts of things. What Jesus is showing us, your life is eternally significant. What happens in your life will last an eternity. So guess what? That need for significance, it's fulfilled in Christ. And so just what I love about this is that the deepest needs of our soul are actually met by understanding what Jesus is saying to us today. Some of us, man, you struggle to have that security in God's love. And I want you to know it. You have it in Christ. Someone said to me, I heard someone say recently about Psalm 139. It's a psalm about how as we live our everyday life, God is thinking about us. God is attuned to us. God knows our going up, our sitting down, just everything we do. God's aware and he's present with it. And what the person said, he's like, you know what Psalm 139 is telling us is that there is actually one person in the universe that thinks more about you than you do. Right? How much of our thoughts are preoccupied with ourselves? Let's be honest, a lot. But you know what? There's one person that thinks about you more than you do. Guess who it is? God. Because he loves you. Because you matter to him. How powerful is that? So again, what I'm just trying to show you today, church, is that the needs of your soul and the needs of my soul are fulfilled when we receive the love of Christ and when we become shaped by it. Now, what I believe happens is that we are driven to the productive life because we lose sight of what we already have in Christ. Conrad Hilario, that speaker that I told you about, he said this week, casting off God's leadership means bearing the burden of meeting our own needs. Casting off God's leadership means meeting the burden of bearing our own needs. Some of us, we're stuck in the productive life because we are trying to find the security of love. We're trying to find significance, but we're not receiving it from Christ, so we have to look elsewhere. And here's what it's creating in us: anxiety, frantic behavior, overscheduled lives. And it's because we're not first resting in that source and living from that place. And I just want to show you again, today Jesus is offering something so much better to us. And he's saying, allow your life to be saturated with my life, with my love. As the Father has loved me, so I will love you. And then you'll be able to love other people well. Now, here's the second thing I find super powerful about that, is that we all grow up with flawed models of love. Now, I was blessed to have really, really good parents. But as good as they weren't perfect. And they left some gaps. Not because they wanted to, but because they're human. I love my daughters with all my heart. But you know what? They're going to grow up with gaps. My love for them is flawed. My model of it's flawed. It's not perfect. They're going to have to sort through some things with God. And he's going to have to fill in those gaps in a better way. Now, some of us had really bad parents. So our model was very flawed. And the gaps are significant. Here's what I'm saying. We all have a flawed understanding about giving and receiving love in our life. We all have adopted patterns of giving love that are unhealthy. We all have adopted patterns of receiving love that's unhealthy. But what Jesus is showing us is those patterns can be changed through him. Whatever our parents gave us that needs changed, that can be changed through our relationship with Christ. So today, if you are like, man, I didn't have a loving home. I didn't have a loving father. Maybe I didn't have a loving mother. Maybe I had unhealthy or abusive parents. I want you to know that Christ can reshape and begin to fill your soul and my soul with what you need. And again, there's ways that we're giving love today. We're relating to people in unhealthy ways because we had an unhealthy model. And what Christ is offering us today is he's saying, let me show you the real way to give and receive love. Because there isn't one of us today that's watching that isn't flawed in our model somewhere. And each of us needs God to rewrite the script of what giving love and receiving love looks like. There's a lot of good men in our church that have been going through Wild at Heart. And I went through it years ago, and I really recommend this book. Moms, if you have sons, dads, if you have sons, and you've never read this book, read it. It will help you. It will help them. Guys, I think it should be standard reading material for men. It's just really helpful stuff about understanding the masculine soul. But one of the big points of that book is he says, all men require affirmation from their fathers. Your masculine soul needs it. And what does affirmation mean? It means that knowing that you are loved by your dad and knowing that your dad thinks you're capable, that you can handle the rigors of life. Now, some men, they grew up with their dad demeaning them. And so they got actually the opposite of that. They left their relationship, early relationship with their father, and instead of feeling empowered, they felt disempowered. And it haunts the masculine soul. So one of the things that Wild at Heart says is where, if your earthly father failed you, your heavenly father can redeem that pain and can redeem what's missing. And again, it's just to Jesus's point here. You and I will have different gaps in our soul of giving and receiving love. We all need to go back to Christ and go back to the Father's love and to be reshaped by it to live a fruitful life. Some of the ways we're relating to each other, it's not because we learn that from God. We learn that from the brokenness of the world, but we've never invited God to reshape it. And so what I just want to encourage you to do and to recognize is that you and I will follow the script that we were given for love today unless we invite God to rewrite it. You will follow the script that you grew up with. You will follow the script that life gave you, and it's gonna be flawed at some level. Even if you had amazing parents, it's still gonna be flawed at some level. And each of us, if we are gonna live the fruitful life, we need to invite God to rewrite the script and say, Lord, show me how to receive love in the right way. Let me receive it from you. Show me how to give it so I can live the fruitful life. Our ability to fulfill this command is built on our connection to the love of Christ. I also heard this week, I was at a conference this week. That's why I heard all these different speakers. It was really good. But I heard this man named Peter Scandi talk, and he talks a lot about reconciliation and how to heal relationships and deal with conflict. It was really, really great stuff. But he had a little model for loving people well that I just want to share a bit of it with you today. And it's very, very simple. He says, in all our relationships, there's three dynamics at work. There's us and our emotions. There's other people and their emotions and their actions. And then there's God. And so he says, you need two things operating in all these different categories. Number one, I need a self-awareness. In relationships with others, I need to know what's going on in me. Okay, I'm angry right now. What has made me angry? What has brought this up? I need to be in touch. Have you ever met someone who's not self-aware? They have a very difficult time having good relationships, right? Because they're clumsy. They're doing unnecessary damage. They don't really see themselves in a healthy way. So we need self-awareness, and then we need self-engagement. As I'm aware of what's happening in me, how can I engage in that in a healthy way? Okay, maybe I'm overreacting here, and my engagement is I need to just go step away from this conversation. I need to calm myself down, take a few deep breaths, and then I need to re-enter it, right? That could be a healthy thing. So we need that self-awareness and engagement. We also need other awareness and engagement. What's happening in that other person? You know, right? Someone can say the same words with a different tone, and you know they're telling you something different, even though it's the same words, right? Like, you know, how you doing today? I'm okay. You're like, okay, you're not okay, right? Or say, how you doing today? I'm okay. You're like, okay. It's giving you a certain sense of awareness of where they're at. Again, we've all known people that lack that, and they're talking to someone, and you can see that they're making things worse. They're not helping. Why? Because they're lacking other awareness, and then other engagement. Based on what's happening, how can I engage? All right, I'm clearly irritating the life out of them. Maybe I need to just chill out and stop asking questions. You know, maybe I need to give them space or change the subject. That is a healthy thing in relationships. Then the third quality, and he says, without a Christian perspective, we can't have this. It's God awareness and God engagement. So self-awareness and self-engagement, others' awareness and others' engagement, that's what every emotional intelligence book on the planet is about. And that's good, and we need that. But as Christians, we have one more layer, God awareness and God engagement. As I'm relating to this person, then there's one other thing I have to be aware of. What is God doing? What does God want from me? What could I do now to glorify and honor him? And I think, church, when we just try to be aware of these things, man, that can be a real help and a real blessing to the relationships in our life. And then Jesus shows us that the highest expression of love is self-sacrifice. Now, our culture shows us in every movie and everything that we see that the highest expression of love is personal fulfillment. Does this person, as Jerry Maguire says, complete me? Right? That's all about your personal fulfillment. Jesus says that's not what real love looks like. Because guess what? Sometimes the people in your life, they're not going to complete you. They're going to disrupt you. They're going to drive you crazy. They're going to hurt you. Do you stop loving them? Do you just move on? Do you leave them and then, you know, find someone that's going to do everything that you need? No. We strive to learn from Christ how to love them in those moments. And Jesus says, here's how you know you're on the path. It's self-sacrificing. It's not self-fulfilling. It's self-emptying. Today, if you're married and you're like, I don't think my marriage is working because this person isn't fully fulfilling me. Guess what? That doesn't mean your marriage isn't working. That means your perspective is wrong. That you are determining love apart from how Christ helps us to understand it. Guess what? God's purpose in marriage is not to fully fulfill you in every way. It's to sanctify you. It's to shape you towards Christ. Yes, should there be fulfillment? Of course there should. But if that's all we're looking for and all we can understand it, we're missing the majority of what God wants to do. You with me on this? Self-sacrifice is part of it. So today, I just want you to think, in what ways is God calling me to be lovingly sacrificial today? I'm not talking about in unhealthy ways. I'm not talking about people exploiting and taking advantage of us or putting up with some kind of ungodly abuse. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying real love is marked by sacrifice. Where is God calling me to sacrifice so that I can love people in my life the way that Christ has loved me? And then Jesus tells us, man, this is fruitful. This is fruitful. And there are benefits to it. And I just want to share some of those with you today. Number one, he says, when you live like this, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. Intimacy with God is where this path will take us. You will have a sense of friendship with God. And I believe that is honestly more important than anything else. The productive life, you're not guaranteed friendship with God. The fruitful life, you will experience an intimacy with God, a sense of God's presence. And just in my own life experience, the times where I have a sense of God's presence, that is better than anything else. Any other circumstance in my life, it makes better. And it prepares me for. And I'm just telling you, if that's all Jesus said that we got, that alone would be enough to pursue this way of life. But he tells us more. He says God will bear eternal fruit through us. That we will bear eternal fruit and it will glorify him. Can I tell you today, you and I, we don't need any greater opportunity than the one that we have before us right now. You can glorify God for all eternity without moving anywhere, without changing jobs, without having any different role change or financial change or anything. We can do it right here, right now, through this path of fruitfulness. How powerful is that? My life can be eternally significant. Moms, dads, all of us at work or at home, you have the opportunity for eternal significance if we will practice this way of life. And then Jesus also says, we will experience the power of God in prayer. Ask whatever you want in my name so that the Father will be glorified. We'll have this deep alignment with God and we'll see him move powerfully through prayer. This is the fruitful life. Here's my challenge to you today. I want you to focus on a neglected relationship in your life. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's just friends. Man, we just have had no space for other people. Maybe it's neighbors, maybe it's coworkers, maybe it's our own church community. Where in your life, in my life, has there maybe been some neglected relationships. Not intentionally, but because we're busy, because they've just kind of fallen to the side. And I want you to look at those neglected relationships, and I want you to reinitiate with them. Again, if it's your spouse, and you guys, man, you're just so busy with work. You're so busy with kids' activities. You're so busy with your extended family. But like, you haven't been on a date since, you know, Jesus was baptized. Like, make a attempt. Put something on the calendar. Make time for your marriage. Initiate. Maybe, again, that's kind of the same story, but it's with friends. Or it's with extended, whatever God puts on your heart. Says, you know what, this is a relationship that I want you to put more energy and focus in. Then initiate with that relationship. Make time for it. Say no to something else so you can say yes to this. And then I want you to find how you can serve that person. How you can bring a Christ-like love into their lives. And I want you to do this all prayerfully, because I believe that will help us to get on the path of fruitfulness. Here's what I know. The path of fruitfulness, it's not a perfect formula. It's not like all the productivity hacks that we learn. It's a way of life with Jesus Christ. And let's start or continue or deepen that path today. Let me pray. Father, help us to live a life that bears eternal fruit. Lord, show us today where there is maybe a neglected relationship where you're like, hey, the tyranny of the urgent has eclipsed that. Help us to dial in. Help us to initiate. Help us to make time. Help us to serve. Help us to pray. And I pray, Father, that it would glorify your good and holy name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If this message blessed you or encouraged you in some way, we want to encourage you to share it with other people in hopes that it could bless them as well. Also, we kind of want to know what stuck out to you in this service. So before you sign off, drop a little note in the comments letting us know what stood out about this message to you. Also, we want to remind you, we want to be lifting you up in prayer. If you have prayer requests or needs, drop it in the comments if you're comfortable. If not, send us a direct message, because we want to be lifting each other up here at Christ Church. Remember, next week, normal service schedule back at West Campus. We'll see you then.